Los Angeles friendos, join Going In Raw as we go live on stage with Wrestling With Regrets' Brian Zane September 24th at the Nerdist Showroom in L.A. The link to tickets is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. And if you're on the iOS podcast app, be sure to leave a rating or a review. And that really helps jack us up in the charts there, Larson.
Yes, it does.
We're also available at Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. We're joined with zero people right now. Actually, we're joined by a bunch of people. It's just not telling me how many people are watching right now. They enjoyed our 20-minute pre-show where I sang you some Spandau Ballet.
And we did a lot of research into the 80s.
Somebody asked us to power rank the 80s.
Yeah.
And we came up the top best year in
1989.
It was 1989.
Seems like 1989.
That was like one of the best years ever, apparently, in music, at
least. It was really good.
At the very least.
Yeah, I'd have to do more research to make a full determination, however.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Now that I think of it, 88 was pretty good.
88 was really good. I honestly think you can take 89 and then go backwards, and that's your top five.
You know, I think the 80s are often musically derided.
Yeah.
Because what was popular at the time.
Sure.
It hasn't dated terribly well,
right?
But actually, a lot of it has.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, like in the underground,
mm-hmm.
the music scene in the '80s across, you know, through in various countries was thriving.
Oh yeah, big time.
So, '80s music's not all bad.
Good on you, '80s. We're also available at Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com/Going In Raw. We got all sorts of great designs, more to come. Very excited about that. And then this weekend, Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
At 1 p.m., we're going to be live on stage in Los Angeles with Wrestling With Regrets. Brian Zane there in the Nerdist showroom at Meltdown Comics over there on Sunset Boulevard. Should be a lot of fun. There are still tickets available. LA Weekly, from what I understand, is going to be featuring it as some sort of pick of the week.
Yeah, that's cool.
So there you go. We're a pick of the week, Larson.
Cool.
How does that make you feel?
That is very exciting.
We're not we're not a Sacramento pick of the week. We're an LA pick.
Well, we haven't
done
a live show in Sacramento yet.
Maybe if we do, we will be.
Yes.
So anyways, Hall & Oates. Bloke Pop.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, they're
pop.
Not British.
I don't know if Bloke Pop has to be British.
Okay, well that opens up.
That's what I said. Yeah, but
that opens things up quite a bit then.
Yeah, it has to be British. They're out.
Okay.
Let's see here. Yeah, so that's huge. And then that's we're good.
Yeah, that's right? A major thing. Yeah, I think so.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And then are we still doing the sub party for hitting 182,000
subs? Yeah, it's Thursday,
subs?
Right?
Thursday? We're going to tell them what we're playing? Is it over there?
I don't see it. It's probably over there, but I'm not going to look for it.
Tomorrow's episode, I'm going to announce. By the way, W Steve W's up. I don't know if it didn't hit notifications or if people just don't give a damn anymore. I have Top Notch in the thumbnail.
Maybe he doesn't pop ratings for you. Maybe it's just confusing because my show is called WGPW now, Top Notch is on your show. It's all very confusing.
It is so confusing. It's great.
We better wrap this whole storyline up pretty quick. Otherwise, we're going to lose everybody.
I know. Anyways, it's a lot of fun, though. Also, that's it. Yeah, so we're going to talk about Raw now.
Yeah.
Raw! Look, can we just sit here and talk about the 80s some more? Because Raw was, man, it felt, I speaking of Brian Zane, who's going to be appearing live on stage with us in the LA Weekly Pick of the Week show. He said he was on Twitter saying this is a really promo heavy show. And I was like,
yeah.
It reminded me of a go home SmackDown from before the brand split.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of promos and beyond, besides the Jason Jordan stuff, which I really liked.
Yeah, it was really good.
Not a lot going on, really.
Not really, but this show is worth watching if no other reason, as you just mentioned. The really strong performance across the board from Jason Jordan
mm-hmm.
all night. The show kicked off with Kurt Angle coming out. He was hyping No Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
He was quickly interrupted by The Miz and The Miz Tourage. No Maurice.
Yeah.
Also spotted during this opening segment, a Going In Raw shirt.
Two of them, actually.
Hard cam. The one most prominently, that at least I saw, was I believe, Eric Blaha.
Yeah, it was the base hit king.
So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. He also apparently at one point had a sign.
It said, hey, friendos, yeah.
Big old sign said, hey, friendos. And then...
Ty Perez was there, too.
Yeah.
He had a going in Raw shirt as well, yeah.
Yeah. So that was rad. Good to see you guys.
Yeah.
It's always rad to see. That's always a real surreal thing to see. Hey, wait a second. Where's our going in Raw sign?
Oh. It was on the desk.
What the hell did I do with that thing? Around here somewhere.
Oh, goodness.
What the hell?
Anyways, we got to find it and put it up here in a prominent position on the wall.
What's going on here? Anyways, I don't know where it is, but it's always a trip to see that stuff.
Yeah.
Something I designed.
So anyways, The Miz was complaining about not having a match at No Mercy.
No Mercy. Here we are,
the go-home show for No Mercy, and he has no match.
Yeah.
So Kurt Angle says, I was going to get to that, Miz.
Yeah.
He said they're going to have the Hardys versus Elias versus Jason Jordan, winner of that match. Number one contender for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, good stuff.
Jason Jordan comes out, and he says, Kurt, I want the Miztourag in this match, too.
Yeah.
So instead of a fatal four-way, it's a six-pack challenge, winner, number one contender for the Intercontinental title. And then Jordan is tired of the Miz's insults directed towards Kurt Angle. He goes after him, attacks him. Miztourag attacks him. Jason Jordan clears the ring.
Yes. Yes!
I thought Jason Jordan's promo work during the segment was very good.
Yeah, me too, man, because it was to the point. And he was intense. And
his character had motivation.
He didn't go outside his safety, his comfort zone,
yeah.
I feel. And no, you're absolutely right. He had motivation. So I have no idea if this was planned, because I never really think anything's planned in the WWE until like the day of show. But the idea that it took time for him to marinate and understand the consequences of being Kurt Angle's son, and he'd have to walk around and deal with people chattering, kind of makes sense that it would take this long for him to finally kind of blow his gasket over it.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether it was,
intentional or no,
I thought it worked really well.
He said,
I'm tired of this. People keep on talking about me. And I thought it was good. I thought they booked him really good and strong, taking out the entire Miztourag at the beginning. I thought that was... I love the German suplex. I love Brock's German suplex. I'll never get tired of watching Jason Jordan throw people overhead.
I'll never get tired of that. His Northern Light suplex is ridiculous.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's ridiculous. Anyway,
so much fun.
After that segment, commercial break, come back, and Jason Jordan and Kurt Angle are backstage. And as you mentioned, Jason is airing his frustration about, you know, people thinking that he's getting it easy
because
he's Kurt Angle's kid.
Yeah.
And Kurt Angle just said, go out there and win, essentially, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he did. Well, he said you can. He said there's a time to fight and there's a time not, and there's a time to walk away, and he got to learn that. He said, go out there and win. Go out there and win, kid.
Next, Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax.
This is essentially a Alexa Bliss getting squashed match.
Yep, pretty much. She is getting beat up. She leaves the ring, starts to walk up the ramp. Sasha comes out, stops her. Nia just like runs through Alexa completely.
Yeah.
Gets her back in the ring, wins the Samoan drop. Sasha gets the ring, goes after Nia. Nia gets the upper hand. Bayley comes out to help even the odds. Everybody attacks Nia.
Yeah.
Knocks her out of the ring.
Yeah.
And this part was funny, where Alexa butts in on Sasha and Bayley's celebration, because Bayley's returning from injury.
True.
Sasha was happy to see her friend back.
Yeah.
Alexa kind of gets in between them. Tries to celebrate with him. Sasha kicks her. Bayley to belly. That's it.
Yeah, good to see Bayley back. So, for going in Raw View this week, we're doing NXT Rival. Okay?
It had
the four horsewomen fatal four-way match for the NXT Women's Championship.
Correct.
I loved seeing it. It's honestly awesome and it's sad, because that match is so good.
It's really good.
And you just see them like really putting everything they have into the wrestling, and seemingly they're not allowed to do that.
Or
not able to do that, or whatever the deal is.
I know.
But you see a Bayley, who's booked perfectly. She's aggressive. She doesn't take crap, but she also has that her character side, you know? And that's what made her so fascinating is that she's the hugger who can then whoop anybody's butt. She wasn't timid. She wasn't afraid. She wasn't that stuff.
Nope.
She wasn't cry face. She would. It wasn't reluctant. It was just there was an obvious conflict there. Not that she had to do these things, but that she had to do these things and still maintain that side of her, you know, that positivity.
Yeah.
And as opposed to what WWE creative on main roster seems to think she is, which is this timid person who has social anxiety or whatever it
is.
Who had her dad on her dates or whatever it was.
It's weird.
So I don't know, man. They need to go back and look at that NXT stuff.
I know.
You know? And I'm hoping that this injury, sorry, not to cut you off. I'm hoping that this injury is a chance at a clean slate and for them to do that.
It's interesting to see when some of these NXT talents get brought up. It's almost as if the people in charge of their creative on the main roster have never seen them in NXT. Bayley, the Ascension, quite possibly Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times has that happened?
Yeah, I know.
Several.
I know. I know.
I don't understand
it. It doesn't make a lick of sense. I like the end of this, though. Sasha and Bayley start celebrating, and Alexa, because they have all thwarted Nia Jax, Alexa tries to buddy-buddy with them, too. Mm-hmm. They're not having it. They dole out their finishes to her.
Yeah.
Next up, we got a little segment they were doing all night. They were doing these great little tributes to Bobby Heenan. So we saw a bunch of Twitter reactions to Bobby Heenan, all expressing sadness. Let's see here.
Then we had a Lesnar-Strowman video package. They're making quite an effort to make comparisons between Brock Lesnar circa 2002 and Braun Strowman now.
Yeah.
That seemed to be the theme of the night, in terms of their feud.
Yeah.
And they seemed to really focus on it on Raw last night.
Yeah.
I guess there are potentially some parallels, but
What was the big selling point for the SummerSlam Universal title match? During all the episodes leading up to it, what did you get? You got big bastards fighting each other. I don't like this for the go home, where these guys are just sitting in a freaking chair.
Well, it's because Lesnar had the night off. They shot that last week.
No, I get that. I'm just saying. I get that. I'm just saying, if you want an effective build, show big bastards going at it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I know. They should have done this segment last week and then
flip-flop
last night, have whatever happened on the week before, where Strowman goes in and lays him out.
Right, exactly.
That's
and stands tall.
Yeah.
Because then he can lose. Because that's the stand tall lose.
Yeah.
I'm not huge on that. As a go-home in general, I thought this was weak. I thought it felt like...
Well, I mean, it was going to be weak without Lesnar and without Cena.
No, I know, which is bizarre to me that they would, they wouldn't flip-flop the weeks that they would be... I mean, look, I know Cena's schedule is what it is, Lesnar's schedule is what it is, but I would think, hey, they're under contract. They can kind of dictate, hey, this is the go-home. We kind of need you guys.
At least for Lesnar. I mean, I understand why Cena wasn't there, because he was traveling back from China because they had just done a brief tour there.
Yeah.
So I understand that. But Lesnar, I don't see any reason why he couldn't. They couldn't have done that, just switch the days.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't know either.
I mean, people are either sold on it or they're not, I mean, at this point. But I like when there's a lot of heat going into the match, So, I don't know.
Next, Cesaro and Sheamus promo. What I got from this is they don't like nostalgia, and they think Seth and Dean, their whole friendship now is a fraud.
I don't know. Where do they get that from?
I have no idea.
Okay. So, devil's advocate. They're playing mind games.
It's not very effective.
Look, I'll say this. This match that came up.
Oh, it was good. It was long.
It was really long.
They've been really given the tag matches a lot of time ever since Dean and Seth won those titles.
And here's the thing.
Tons of time.
So, up until this point, I've been pretty much like, I really don't care about this program. The funny thing is, you can wrestle your way out of people not caring. Because although I still kind of don't care, I care a little bit more because they gave him a good match.
I feel like I care more about what Dean and Seth might do next as opposed to what they're doing right now.
Yeah.
So the Sheamus and Cesaro are doing their promo. Out come Dean and Seth. You know, they're kind of doing a little bit of a jokey type thing. Out come the club. The Luke Gallows calls everyone nerds. And I thought Seth's delivery on his little bit was great.
You know what?
I thought it was really funny.
The only thing that bugs me about that is they didn't delve a little bit into why Dean doesn't like being called. I bought in on it.
I know.
I bought in on it.
Not so much because of what Dean did. Because
Seth.
Seth's like, don't say that.
I just wanted a little bit of backstory as to why Dean didn't want to be called.
But you know what's going to happen. We're not going to hear about that ever again.
I know. I did like it, though. And then everybody brawled. And it's like, like I said, you can kind of punch your way. Like that's how the SummerSlam Universal title scene worked for, it was just a bunch of guys fighting and then you kind of care about it,
Yeah.
So My only, my one major complaint also is that they just need to book the club stronger. Give the club some wins.
I know. Carl Anderson's in the company just to eat losses, it seems like.
Seriously.
He eats a lot of pins.
It's so ridiculous. And it's like, man, I know these guys can go. So, like, let them, like, how much more interesting would it be if the club was, like, a really, really strong contender laying in wait for whatever's going to happen here?
I know.
You know? But.
Well, the way they booked the match, what was next was a triple threat tag match, Seth and Dean versus the club versus Sheamus and Cesaro. They had opportunities for the club to pick up even just an opportunistic win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. They were there. I know, exactly.
And it would have done a lot to have the club pick up a win. So, you know, if Seth and Dean and Sheamus and Cesaro are done with their feud after No Mercy, after, as I'm assuming, Seth and Dean pick up the win,
right,
then they can move on to the club.
I know, and it would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
kind of bums me out.
Yeah, bums me out too. But anyways,
I thought I had one more point about that. I don't know. I like the club. I just wish they'd win more.
I know, me too.
It's a bummer.
I like it when Carl Anderson does his Chad Too Bad laugh.
Oh, it's so great. Because he's like, I mean, kind of the funny part is these guys eat nothing but losses. And yet they still have all the confidence in the
world. I know. I like when they, last night when they were coming out, I said, "You're not good brothers. You're not." I know they do it every week.
Well, no,
but
it's
last
great.
Night it was just.
It's great. Well, here's the funny thing is that, okay, Sheamus and Cesaro, I get why they're not good brothers because they ditched them. But then they say Seth and Dean aren't good brothers because they took advantage of them.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
That was funny.
You're even calling your opponent good brothers for doing what your opponent should be doing. Or not good brothers, rather.
I know. That was great.
Oh,
next,
goodness.
Miz
goodness.
And the Miztourage backstage. Oh, this is when the Miz was talking about the number one contender match, and then I believe he was talking about if one of them, Curtis Axel or Bo Dallas, won, then Bo Dallas said, "I'm not going to take it easy if I win that match and have to face you in No Mercy."
Yeah.
So
I like this. I've noticed this, but I didn't notice it to this degree until this week, just how much spray tan the Miztourage uses. They are orange. And I feel like, I don't know if this is planned, but I feel like every week they get more and more orange. And that would be great if that was the case.
A long-term plan, I know.
Yeah.
Next, Kurt Angle is on the phone. In comes, so we think, Goldust. He turns around. It's Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah, it's Goldustin Rhodes. But he's got his Goldust outfit on, just not the mask or the face paint.
Yeah, and he wants to face Bray Wyatt again.
He sounds so old.
I know.
Kurt.
He is old.
Come on, man. You got to help me out here. I want a match.
He's so grisly.
Come on, give me a match.
Sounds like one of those smoker commercials.
It does.
Come on, man. I'm friend.
Sounds like Spock when he's got radiation poisoning.
End of Wrath of Khan.
You are my friend. Forever will be. My friend. Give me a match.
Spock.
The most human.
Human. Oh, God dang it. Okay, anyways.
Anyways, after that, Kurt gives him his match. Next, we go to the ring. It's Kurt Hawkins talking about his losing streak. I like that they're promoting his losing streak.
This is great.
And, so,
and his face, it's crazy. He's in character checked out.
He realizes how much this whole thing sucks in character, exactly.
In character,
but I
though.
Think also, shoot-wise,
I don't know. I think shoot, he's like, look, man. Friggin' a year ago,
I mean, paycheck's good.
A year ago, I was jobbing a grim.
Yeah.
Now I'm making probably $250 a year, maybe more.
Yeah, could be.
You know, he's probably doing just fine. And he's like, hey, you know, week to week, they keep wanting me back. And now he's probably even more geeked because this 115 is going to guarantee that it's going to get to 200.
Oh, at least, yeah.
He's going to go. This is a storyline for him.
Oh, I know. And even last night in his match, I was like, are they going to end his losing streak now?
Exactly.
Because he hasn't been on TV in a while.
I know.
So that's the storyline. They're building drama about when his losing streak's going to end.
Oh, it's great.
It's good.
This is the first time I've been healthy in ages.
He says, the Star Factory is closed.
Yeah.
It's being replaced by the History Machine because he's going to make history and end his losing streak.
Yeah.
And so out comes Apollo Crews, his opponent for the night. This is when the Friendo sign makes its debut.
Yeah.
And, of course, Crews wins.
Yeah.
The powerbomb.
That was awesome. I love Apollo Crews.
But there was actually quite a bit of drama to this match.
Yeah, there was. No, they're really, I wonder, I mean, we're going to be on Kurt Hawkins' watch. He has to be happy.
Oh, yeah.
That he's got a story now.
I know.
Anyways, next up we had the Braun Strowman Brock Lesnar split screen interview.
I almost kind of wish when
Huge on these, man.
Yeah, I'm not. Well, the one with Joe was okay, especially after the interview kind of broke down and Joe was backstage looking for Brock. I kind of it's really awkward when Brock's in the foreground of his shot, not doing anything.
Yeah,
and Heyman's doing most of the talking behind him.
Yeah,
I wish they would switch that so when Brock does talk and has to, you know, because he leans in the camera, has to kind of move past Paul to do that. I think that'd be more effective.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever Brock kind of leans into the camera and talks, it's fairly menacing because he's an intimidating guy.
Yeah, right. Because the lighting gets all weird.
Yeah. And it's kind of like the focus gets a little soft.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Strowman's performance was totally.
Oh, he's good. He's really good. He's good. Man, he's really comfortable on the mic these days. Yeah. It's fantastic.
But yeah, in terms of building heat, it wasn't that effective as a whole.
Yeah.
Next, the announcement that Bayley was added to the Raw Women's title match at No Mercy. So it's now a 5-way match.
Yeah, I didn't know that she would be coming back this soon. I didn't really think about it.
I had no idea.
But that's cool. I don't think that's going to affect the outcome. I think
no, because whoever wins is still going to lose to Asuka very soon.
Yeah, well, she comes back in next month, October, right? Yeah, probably TLC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be Nia Jax. Like, Nia Jax is the mountain right now. Mm-hmm. She's the one to sort of topple. And that's what we're going to do predictions on Countout this week.
But yeah.
I'm kind of leaning towards, unless I find something else out, I'm leaning towards Nia Jax. I very purposefully did not read the betting odds today.
Yeah, I have not either.
So
next, Roman Reigns promo. He said the S word.
Yeah, they let the man curse. Did that segment get demonetized, I wonder?
I don't know,
man. Did USA give him the old yellow dollar sign?
He said ish.
Day one ish.
You did.
What do you think? So it's going to be impossible for me to express my opinion here and not piss off at least some of our audience, because I swear these days, like, half the people, whenever Roman does anything, half of our audience even, all the friendos out there, half of them say Roman was terrible and half of them say Roman delivered his great, brilliant promo.
Well,
last
I think
night.
I want to address your latter statement. For the most part, the bar is set pretty low for Reigns. So when he does work that's competent, decent, truthfully, it is kind of like his best work yet.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's great, though. He managed to come off as both smug and overly confident and completely devoid of any confidence.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Because he had that kind of smug look on his face and kind of had to smirk constantly. But there's not a whole lot of conviction in what he said.
Here's the thing, too. And I might be able to pinpoint, you're right, I might be able to pinpoint why there's no conviction. Because he literally contradicted himself from last week. This week he showed us footage of John Cena in 2012 slamming The Rock verbally for leaving to go to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last week, I mean, that would indicate that Roman is saying, because he said straight up that John's a hypocrite.
Well, he said before that clip, yeah. Then afterwards, he didn't really hammer that point home, though.
Right. But if the entire point of that clip was saying that John's a hypocrite, and you're right, he didn't. The week before, he said, the reason you're back is because you can't break into Hollywood.
Oh, I know.
But he's saying that,
that was a garbage statement to begin with. That's like Enzo calling Miz a paper champion.
I know, but if the man believes it, then, that's fine. Evidently, he doesn't believe it because he's saying that Cena's leaving. So, like, the content itself just didn't really hold up for me. I mean, his delivery was fine. Like you said, he comes across as arrogant and kind of a dick. But then he also kind of betrays a lack of confidence, too. So I don't know, man. I mean, I honestly, as has been the case so often with Roman Reigns, I just don't know what to get. I know I wasn't vastly entertained. I thought it was kind of bogus that they let him go out there and curse simply because, oh, well, it's Roman.
It'll get a cheap pop.
It'll get a cheap pop. Like, oh, he just said S-word.
I know.
So I don't know, man.
It's like he's trying to put forth a performance that would indicate that he's arrogant, but he's self-conscious about that performance.
Yeah.
And I think that's what comes off as a lack of confidence.
Yeah. It's sort of like, I mean, I get that. There's so much to try to understand here. And usually I go with especially with the WWE, I tend to think that there's maybe with Roman, do you think there's like too many cooks in the kitchen there? Because it doesn't feel like they're pushing him in a direction. It feels like they want several things out of him.
Well, it feels like everything is a reactionary move based on how the crowd reacts
like
to him.
He's heel-ish, but no more
but
or
not,
less.
He's, when he comes out, he's giving fans high fives.
Yeah.
Heels don't do that.
I mean, he gives his fans, and I know that he's literally said before, I'm the first true gray area superstar, which, means he's not a tweener, because a tweener is somebody who gets a fan reaction but does bad things.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get a fan reaction. He doesn't really do bad things, except he's got kind of an attitude on him where he thinks he's like, king shit, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I honestly think that's maybe a case of there's just too many cooks in the kitchen.
That could be.
Too many people are sort of tugging, saying, well, do this. Yeah, but then also, you want to do this.
No, he's got to do this.
Oh, you didn't know? You should do this.
It's the wrong show.
No, my bad. So, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't, I'll put it this way. In the end, either something gets me hyped or it doesn't for the match coming up. And this didn't. Cena slamming Roman Reigns, making all sorts of great points, really got me hyped for this match. I know Roman's going to win. That I don't even have to look at betting odds for.
Yep.
Roman's totally going to win this.
Oh, yes.
But I don't know. I mean, how great would it be if Roman and Brock both lost, though?
Well, that'd
they
be
both had to sort of
incredible.
Come back from that. But
that'd be a more interesting story than this two wrestlers dominating the entire roster until their inevitable match at WrestleMania.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm looking for – I think they're going to put on a good match. I think they're both going to really – I get the feeling that Cena is really going to go out of his way to help the WWE here and
I know.
To put Roman over.
Yeah, he's not going to pull a Baron Corbin here.
No, not at all.
Or like what he did to Baron Corbin, sorry.
Next up, we had the Hardys in an interview because they were going to be in the six-pack challenge.
Yes.
So they're going to be fighting for the Intercontinental Championship's number one contendership.
Yeah, and they were saying that all the innovative offense they do in the ring, the stuff they've been practicing since their youth.
Mm-hmm.
They've been fighting since the very beginning.
Yeah.
So not a big deal. They have to fight during this match.
Right. This was good because once again, Matt was sort of doing shades of.
Yeah, he brought up a little bit of the broken.
Yeah. I wonder if. So I guess they're not going to be selling Impact Wrestling anytime soon.
No.
But I wonder if Jeff is getting any special, pleasure out of what's happening over there.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Next, Bray Wyatt versus Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah.
Bray, we're going to imagine.
Dustin had the upper hand for a good portion of this match, and then Bray out of nowhere seemingly dropped his Sister Abigail on him, picked up the win.
Yeah, man, I was kind of hoping that we'd get Finn interfering on Dustin's behalf. That'd have been cool.
Finn showed up on the Titantron. And delivered a promo. His performance was fine. The dialogue was awful.
Dude,
awful.
Here's the thing. Once you have seen his New Japan promo work, you just think, especially last night, he's just sitting there. And yeah, he knows how to read dialogue. But it's just. I know he's cool as heck when he stands there and just stares. He looks awesome.
Yeah.
But man, I honestly think he could be so much. He could have been one of those dudes who was a heel in the style of like original Bullet Club, Prince Devitt, and then have a massive face turn.
Oh, gotten over as a heel.
Yeah. And then you would have had his like cool look face stuff that he's got going now, but then combine that with one of those great, where you can really showcase what you could do with your personality.
Yeah.
Because that, like his New Japan promo work was so cool.
I need to check that out.
It was so like, it was off the wall, man. And it fit him so perfectly. And now he delivers it like he's sleepwalking, but kind of.
Oh, the dialogue he had to read last night was awful.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
So I guess he's throwing it up in the air as to if Bray's going to get the demon or the man. He said that he essentially said, which one is more dangerous, the demon or the man?
If the man created the demon, then which one is more dangerous?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So he's either leaving it up in the air or he's just straight up saying that I'm not going to be the demon.
That's how I took it.
Okay. All right. Wait, which one that he's leaving up
the ladder?
Air? He's not going to be the demon,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and he gets to sort of avenge his loss as normal Finn from that Raw before SummerSlam.
Maybe he'll come out just like in partial demon paint.
Half and half. Yeah. Half finished. And he's like, they put some stuff on me. He's like, okay, I'm good.
Good.
Okay, I'm good. Good.
Good. Next, Enzo comes out to drop a promo, and then Braun just annihilates
him. Oh, it was amazing. And the crowd starts chanting, "Thank you, Strowman." That was fantastic. Paul comes out there. My name is that. Then he just gets murdered.
Braun! Braun just runs right through him. It was fantastic. He really throws him in the ring.
Oh, man.
Like deadlifts, choke slams.
And then we get, just destroyed him. Then we get my spot, my moment of the night was Neville's reaction to Braun as Braun is walking backstage. Neville, very, very cautious, never turning his back on Braun, but at the same time marveling over the destruction he just saw to this idiot Enzo Amore. Oh my gosh, his reaction was Neville fantastic. It was so good. It was really good.
Next, after commercial break, come back. Enzo is interviewed in the locker room. He's got a bag of ice on his arm or something.
Yeah.
Says he's going to beat Neville at No Mercy.
I know, and I think he is. I think they're setting this up so much so for him to lose that he's totally going to win.
Well,
and take
that's
Neville
what
by
I
surprise.
Thought it could be is like the first time they have a match. Neville has a counter from his standard dirty tricks, and then cheats himself to win. And the next match is when Enzo comes up with some new tricks and pulls off the win.
I think
there's more money in Enzo chasing after Neville than Enzo holding that belt.
I think so. If it goes down, if Enzo loses at No Mercy, I don't think for a second the way they've been booking things. Well, okay, maybe
if Neville cheats to win,
I would be really surprised. Like the story right now isn't Neville needing to cheat.
No.
But I guess it could be.
I mean, the story is Neville's taking Enzo so lightly. It's the door is open for Enzo just to cheat
take
to
advantage
win.
Of that. Yeah, exactly. But then Neville, you're right, though. Neville knows all the tricks already so that he would have a counter to that kind of stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I just get the feeling that the simpler answer is going to be the one, and that simple answer is Enzo winning and taking Neville by surprise.
Potentially.
But you're right. I think there is probably more money in the chase, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Neville had a match against Gran Metalik.
Oh!
And he almost ripped that mask completely off him.
Gran Metalik almost, unmasked. Dr. Wagner,
yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, because when he first did it, the camera was right there.
Oh, dude, I know.
And you saw at least half of
freaking driver's license.
Grand Metalik's face.
And
it's
I
not
tell
three-quarters.
You, I got my new driver's license in the mail. I tried putting on like a face, and it looks literally. I don't know how I did this. Like the exact same driver's license picture from
you sure they
10
didn't
years
reuse
ago.
The old one,
but no, but me, like not with like because I had longer hair back then. Oh. And I had like a super baby face.
I think they have something in that camera that just makes everybody have like the same default face.
Right, I know exactly. It's weird because mine, if you look at them side by side, it's exactly the same look
it's
on my
always,
face.
It's kind of like a default normal face with a hint of surprise.
Yeah,
that's what they all look like.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So weird.
Anyways, Neville wins with the Rings of Saturn.
Yeah, after, like you said, almost pulling off Grand Metalik's mask. Next up, we had Elias Samson getting closer and closer to cracking.
Oh, gosh, he was so close to
laughter. This. He's so close, dude.
Every week, he's showing off some more impressive guitar skills. Slightly.
Yeah, I know. I that's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, man.
No, I always said
I think he's really good at guitar and
I
just
I never,
can play
I,
like
I never
it's
said
bad.
He couldn't play. I just yeah. I don't know if he's really good. Like, I don't know if he's shredding who's a really fast guitar player. What am I drawing a blank?
What's the dude from Van Halen?
Oh, Eddie Van Halen?
Eddie
yeah.
Van Halen.
He's not, you know,
yeah.
backstage tapping on the fretboard.
What was the freaking reference that Michael Cole laid out? It was the E Street Band.
Yeah, Nils Lofgren.
Nils Lofgren.
That was great.
I haven't heard guitar work like that since I saw Nils Lofgren here
that was good.
In Santa Hey,
that was good.
That was so. That is one thing I've said this before. I love the commentary team. I love them. They seem. What did Booker T say when they were talking about Heenan? He says he was the best guy ever to call one of my matches, and then looks at Cole because Cole called plenty of his matches.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said thanks, Booker, and they just laugh and hug each other. I'm like, oh my god, these guys just love each other.
Yeah, they
so
seem
much.
Like they genuinely like
they
each
really
other.
They really do.
It's
nice. Fantastic.
It's good to see.
Yeah.
So Elias sings about how lame Anaheim is. And he's
San Jose.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yes, San Jose. My apologies, San Jose. That was a heel turn from Larson, apparently.
There you go.
Interrupted by the Hardys, who come out first for the main event.
Yeah. Elias is totally getting over too.
Oh,
man.
I know.
People love when they run. Like, I remember the heat The Rock got when he did his sing along in Sacramento when he talked crap about the Kings. Mm-hmm. Oh man,
I know.
Crowd went ballistic on him. But Elias, it's everybody just gets tickled because he always calls them losers.
I know. So yeah, that brought us to our main event. Relatively fun match, fast paced, a lot of action.
Yeah. No, I like this. I like that they made this was smart, man. They made this Intercontinental Championship contendership match, the main event.
Mm-hmm.
It deserved to be there. Mm-hmm. And in a very small amount of time, they were able to do what they, you know, had to put off at SummerSlam. And that gets Jason Jordan over his heir to IC title.
A legitimate contender for that title, yes. And it really helps that the last 2 weeks or two of the last 3 weeks he had matches against John Cena and Roman Reigns.
Oh, that's everything. Mm-hmm. That's everything right there.
And even in defeat, looked great.
The people know now. It's like, oh, wow, we're going to get some real fire out of this kid. You know, that's awesome. That's fantastic. So
he picks up the win with a pop-up neck breaker on, was it Bo?
I thought it was Curtis.
Oh, I knew it was one of the Miz.
Could have been Bo.
So he wins after the match. Miz and the Miztourage attack Jason Jordan.
Sorry, Alex C here in chat reminded me of this. Elias threatened to have a child and his mom thrown out of San Jose, not just the building. He said, "If you keep John and me, I'm gonna have you and your mom thrown out of San Jose." Oh, that was great.
Again, try not to laugh as he said it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, Jason Jordan is a new number one contender for the Intercontinental title, taking on The Miz at No Mercy. That should be a fun match.
Yeah.
Jason Jordan's so good in the ring.
Oh, this would be fantastic. I really would love them to just put that strap on him and see what he can do. See, like, the next version of the story is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it'd be good. And having Miz chase the title is always fun.
Yeah.
He always has a meltdown when he loses the title.
Your birthday present finally arrived.
Nice!
Open.
From
you know where it's like, from.
Oh, Pro Wrestling Tees. Ooh, what did I get today? What we got here? Oh, you eschewed my normal black.
Yeah, well, it's...
Yes! Oh, I'm so happy about this. It's a Yano shirt. That's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yeah, there's one more in there, too.
Oh, what is this one? Oh, nice.
It's the best Young Buck shirt.
I love that one. That is the best one. Look at that. The Young Bucks. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That is awesome. Oh, I love it. I love it all. Great. Oh, I'm so excited about the Yano shirt. Oh, I love that it's like a darker red.
I know.
That's fantastic. Freaking Yano. That's great. All right, let's take some question out.
Yes. Excellence of Flexecution. Will Asuka beat Curt Hawkins in her first match?
Asuka.
I think that'd be great.
What? Oh, that'd be fantastic. They're never going to do that, but man, that would be... Could you imagine if they let her loose on the guys? That'd be fantastic.
Excellence of Flexecution also asked, did Cena write Roman's promo?
That wouldn't surprise me.
I know.
At all. That would not surprise me.
Here, you can take the next question. I liked a lot of them.
All right, good. All right, here we go. Underdog with heart. Sahil Dillon. Yo, friendos, I was at Raw last night. Let me tell you the pop Bailey got when she came out. Oh, boy, it was big. Of course, Bailey from
San Jose. Or as I thought, Anaheim.
There you go. So my question is, with the addition of Bailey into the women's title match at No Mercy, do you think that she has a chance at winning? Or do you think they threw her in last minute because they could? I think it's the latter.
Yeah, because it's her hometown of San Jose. And it'll get a massive pop. But, yeah, I'd be very surprised if she won. Although it'd be interesting if she did.
Yeah.
They actually finally got an opportunity to finish the story kind of they were hoping to tell at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And then you know, Bayley versus Asuka. That's a pretty good program for Asuka to get into at some point.
Oh, I'd love that.
Pick that program up from
NXT. Pick that business up. Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be good.
I'm really interested
because Asuka doesn't need to face a heel first.
Oh no, she's above
she
all that.
She transcends face heel.
No, she should be, and I like these video promos that they're doing. But I really hope that over the next couple of weeks, they act as if it's to use a term from WCW Thunder, a storm is coming. You know, I want people to start freaking out. Like tax season is around the corner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it should be like. Like, oh God, you know.
Oh, I owe so much this year.
Yeah. know so much this year. What am I going to do?
Gosh, all this freelance work.
Exactly.
The Apparition TGX. So now that Bray Wyatt's thing is just making people revert back to their original personas, who should he turn back into their original persona next?
Oh,
and should
I like
he revert
that.
Back to Husky Harris for this match?
I kind of, I didn't really take this storyline to be that, but I kind of like that. That's a good
so
angle on it.
Who should he turn back to a previous persona?
You know who? Emma, when she was awkward and funny
and
silly.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Popping bubbles and stuff.
Yeah.
I would like that. What about you? Give us an answer.
Have Dean Ambrose be John Moxley again.
I was literally about to say that with the pink hair.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? You know, he had a tag match, one of those early WWE tag matches. Guess who he teamed with?
Seth Rollins.
Eli Drake.
Oh.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird. Yeah. Ronan Cahill. Hey, friendos. There are some great superstar t-shirts out there now.
Yeah, man.
Power rank your favorite WWE superstar t-shirts. My favorite one is one they haven't made yet. Monday Night Revival.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to make that shirt.
My favorite one is my Black Craft shirt that I got yesterday.
It's not even a wrestling shirt.
Not even a wrestling shirt. But Aleister Black collaborated with them on a hoodie, I think.
Oh.
I want to get that. It looks great. Anyways, favorite WWE Superstar t-shirt.
I like the Acid Wash Balor Club one. That one looks good.
Anything CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Anything CM Punk. I like his original Straight Edge Society one. It's like a big, look like a big white medallion on a black shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Punjabi Larson Match asks, do you think that the Jason Jordan experiment is starting to work?
Yes.
It's working for me.
Yep.
And it all has to do with good wrestling.
Yep.
Imagine that.
Michael Berry, power rank what wrestlers from any era would have the best biopic movies. We did a countdown about that.
Bruno Sammartino.
We did a countdown about that.
Yeah, we did.
Bruno. Bruno's, we got to do this, though.
Pow, 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 pow. Yeah, we got to ease. I got to lower the opacity on that.
Why?
I'm pretty sure it could cause some seizures. When I look back at it, like in sort of a bigger screen, I'm like,
okay,
oh my God, this is a
power rankings.
Yeah, number one's Bruno.
Bruno, Bobo Brazil.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I mean, Ric Flair is obvious.
Yeah, I'm trying to go back to the list we did. We did a whole episode countdown about it.
Magnum TA.
Yeah, he was on there.
Yeah. Vince, of course.
Yeah.
You know what I'd like? I'd like a Hulk Hogan biopic, but like written by, starring, and narrated by Hulk Hogan. I want it just from his own, like from his perspective. And then even from there, I want people to say, yeah, exaggerate everything. Like through the most Hogan filter possible.
Interesting.
I want a Hulk Hogan movie. I have no idea what that'd be like, but I think it'd be crazy off the wall.
It probably would.
It'd be off the wall.
Nathan Ragland, what would you add to a current feud right now to make it better? I'm trying to think of a feud that's just
John Goodman
really working.
John Goodman makes every movie he's in better.
Good point. Yeah.
Same with Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John Goodman's the answer then.
Anyway, what was the question again?
What would you add to a current feud to make it better?
Oh.
Here's what I'd add. I'd add to the Raw tag team title scene, just the club picking up a win.
Yeah, there you go.
It would have made the whole thing better. More
That'd
interesting.
Be nice.
Instead of just knowing Carl Anderson's in the match to take a loss.
That'd be nice.
I think that's all of them I liked.
Let's see here.
Yes, it is.
Oh, this is a good question here. Ty Dingleberry, Power Rank. Wrestlers that could feasibly spark a winning streak for Kurt Hawkins. Who?
That's a good question.
Who is Kurt eventually going to beat? Is it one of those things they could weave into a larger storyline as sort of a catalyst for somebody else?
Yeah.
Like a Braun Strowman or...
Well, you know, that's not going to happen.
Right, but like somebody but like The Miz. Somebody bigger.
Oh, okay. Matt Hardy. That's what breaks him.
Oh, man. That would totally break the crap out of them. They'd never do it to Samoa Joe. They'd never do it to Seth Rollins.
What about Cass when he comes back?
It
in 6 months. I'm going Matt Hardy, number one.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go with Elias. I'm going to say Elias.
I'm going to say number three, Carl Anderson, because he's there to take losses.
I mean, Chad, too bad.
It seems like.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Those are my answers.
Nerds.
Next. Sean Holver, hey, friendos, with the Miz and Angle stuff going on, do you think we will see the Miz versus Kurt Angle at Survivor Series? If not, who do you want to see Angle face whenever he wrestles again? Not who do we think, who do we want?
I mean, AJ's the obvious choice, but different shows.
They wrestled in TNA too, didn't they?
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to say Seth Rollins.
Oh, that'd be good.
I think that'd be good.
See if you can get that. Yeah, yeah. You want somebody you hadn't messed with before. Original Caffeinator. How much bigger would Cena versus Reigns be if WWE added a loser doesn't get any title shots for a full year stipulation? I think it'd be creative. That's creative.
It is creative.
I like the idea.
That'd be kind of an odd stipulation to enforce, though.
A little weird.
I don't think I've ever heard anything like that before. But no, that would make it potentially more interesting. This is an interesting question. CM Punk finds it insulting.
I find it glad-handing, yes, man.
People always ask how to make WWE better, but what I want to know is how you would create an environment so toxic, business decisions so nonsensical, and the product so bad that WWE be forced to go out of business. Who do you hire to what positions and why? So essentially the question is, who do you put in charge but WWE out of business?
Wait. How would you create an
environment so toxic, business decisions so nonsensical, and a product so bad that WWE would be forced to go out of business? I mean, if you go back to WWE circa like 1994,
yeah,
the ingredients were all in place for that to happen.
No kidding. All right, how about this? Head of Human Relations, JBL.
Oh, yeah. That's.
I was just reading up today on for non-news. I was looking for a thumb for Lillian Garcia because she's part of non-news that went up today. And there was like a story from 2015 that like JBL like drove her to tears because like her dad was like dying of cancer and like she was missing shows.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And I was like, what a turd. If that's true, what a turd. You know what I mean? Anyways, JBL, head of HR.
Talent relations.
Yeah.
Whatever Mark Carano does now.
Yeah, there you go. Who would be your booker to have just a terrible product?
Vince Russo.
That's good. I like it. Vince Russo. And then like business practices. I don't really know.
Dixie Carter.
Okay, man, you win. You win. Well done.
All right, one more question.
Double T has something that's been upvoted 6 times, and I don't know if he has a bone to pick with us, if he's got a lot of problems with you people, but he's got a question here. He says, hey, guys, so I got to ask, why do you guys blame almost everything negative in the company on Vince, but almost every time there's something positive, you give the credit to Triple H? I completely understand that sometimes the case, but you both seem to give no credit to Vince and too much to Triple H so often. So I think our main beef with the product is the lack of
vision,
and the seeming, and you can chart this with like the betting odds and stuff. I mean, it's not that difficult to do. The seeming, the changes that seem to happen on a whim, in terms of pretty big decisions that usually don't pan out in terms of a product that has a long-term vision. If you're going to go in and shoot a movie, you can't be sitting there. I mean, you read up on any movie that like tanked critically, and 9 times out of 10, like either the script was crap or they go into the movie and they change the script. You know, you hear about this stuff, the scripts being changed like on the day of and stuff
that. Yeah, on the fly, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the product, you know, on main roster. And it's like, we don't harp on it too much because it's just, we understand that's the hand we've been dealt, and we talk about what we can and we try to be as positive as we can, but it's kind of like that boils down to Vince.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pay attention to NXT,
where you see a vision playing out.
Playing out,
and you know that's Triple H's thing.
And you know that's Triple H's thing. And then you look at, you know, the same people on NXT, like Sasha Banks and Bayley. And then you look at them over on main roster and it's like, well, what got them to the dance was over here and it worked so well. And then they're over here and it's like, not. I mean, Sasha Banks is a license to print money.
I know.
And I mean, she can't hold the title for more than a couple weeks.
She spoke about her frustration on the main roster on the Sam Roberts podcast.
Right, exactly.
When she was talking about how, and she said that, you know, in very pointed terms about how NXT, there was a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew it was going to happen. We're on Raw. You show up to work each week and you're not exactly sure what you're going to be doing.
Yeah. I mean, we've heard there's been anecdote after anecdote of the same thing. And that's, you know, it's all just, you know, you just run it by Vince. And Vince says, and look, Vince, there's Vince think that Vince does have vision for the company. Like traditionally, or going back a ways, he's had vision for the company. I think the whole digital initiative.
Yeah. Well, I think in the macro sense,
right,
vision
yeah,
of
yeah,
what
yeah.
his company is going to be. Yeah. But I think in terms of the creative aspect of it, not
like,
so much.
Goldberg versus Lesnar. You know, I thought that was a pretty big success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's probably Vince. You know, like mm-hmm. the big picture, the big money stuff is Vince. And yeah, maybe we don't give credit when something goes right, perhaps, in that sense of the word. But then, I mean, there's not really a reason to moan about it, you know. So, you know, usually when you moan about something, you look for somebody to blame.
Yeah.
You try to figure out what went wrong. You don't really try to figure out what went right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that could be why I'm really fascinated to know, because I really like the booking on NXT and the fact that there does seem to be some sort of plan for people. I like that, and I know that's Triple H's thing. And so I'd love to see that aspect of things be translated over to main roster.
Yep.
That would seem, I mean, you put the pieces together, that would seem to be when Vince is not so hands-on with creative and he hands that reins, those reins over to Triple H, Stephanie, you know, that sort of up-and-coming crew. So
yes.
That's where we're coming from on that.
Yes. Agreed.
All right. I think it's time for...
Are you ready?
Yeah.
What are we going to do now, Steve?
Kayfabe Corner.
What is Kayfabe Corner?
The greatest wrestling trivia challenge ever.
All right. Up for vote this week was Cody Rhodes.
Yes.
And Goldust.
Cody flipping Rhodes.
Yes. So Goldust won.
Mm.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
I'm ready for Gold.
All right. First, The Encore.
Oh, real.
Yeah.
Great name.
Second, Jim Reaper.
I'm going to say real.
Fake.
Oh, interesting.
Three, Chris Cruel.
Boy, that's ugly. Chris Cruel. I'll say real, though.
Fake.
Oh, wow.
Four, Austin Roberts.
Real.
Mm-hmm. Five, Steel Banks.
Crap, I'm stuck. Steel Banks. I'm say real.
Fake.
Wow, that's a good
such
one.
A fake name.
You made that? That's good.
Yeah.
Steel Banks.
Six. Bad Street.
Fake.
Real.
Damn.
There's a wrestler named Bad Street.
Holy crap, I'm terrible right now.
Seven. Mike Mayo.
Fake.
Real.
Really?
Yeah.
These are great names.
Jake Robinson.
Real.
Fake.
Damn it.
Todd Bakker.
Fake.
Real.
Okay.
Todd Becker.
Fake.
Real.
I'm stuck at two.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh.
I think the lowest ever is four.
Four.
Wayne Windham.
Fake.
Yeah. Jesse Montana.
Fake.
Yeah. I bailed you out there at the end. Two trivia questions. At Uncensored 95.
I couldn't tell on any of those. That was like the perfect list. Literally the only reason I got those last two
are
because
obvious.
I knew that like there were too many reels.
At Uncensored 95, Dustin Rhodes faced the Blacktop Bully in a King of the Road match. Under what name did the Blacktop Bully achieve his greatest success?
Oh, his greatest success?
Yeah.
I thought he had a different name for that match.
Blacktop Bully. That was the name for the match.
Oh, man. Oh man, was that IRS?
No, it was Smash from Demolition.
Oh,
Barry
okay.
Darso.
Oh, it was, all right.
Next, who did Dustin defeat in his pro wrestling debut?
Oh geez, I'm gonna say Barry Windham.
Bob Cook. Four.
I remember Mike Bob Cook. Green's great wrestler.
Oh, man. Woo, boy.
Rough week for Steve.
No kidding. Wow. I'll come back during chat trivia tomorrow.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyways, that's it for the show. We want to say thank you to everybody out there. Patrons, stay tuned. I'm going to be posting the link to the post show. I know that's a wild pain in the butt for you guys, but we'll get that figured out. I was actually thinking at the beginning of the show, like while you were running down what happened, I was like, I wonder if we could like do an unlisted stream somewhere else and like double stream at the same time and not affect the quality of the broadcast. So we'll see about that.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's it for now. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.